coast to coast, nonstop action. This is the premier source for National Hockey League news, scores, highlights, and the Anaheim Ducks. It's time to light the lamp with Alexis Downey.
Welcome into Light the Lamp here on Ducks Stream. I'm Alexis Downey. As always, happy to be back with you for another episode. It's been a while since I've got in the studio and done a solo show, so that's what we're going with today. I know there's been a few weeks without a Light the Lamp, so I thought that there was plenty to catch up on, and I know it's been so crazy to start this Ducks season. There's been so much happening and a lot of changes for us on the broadcast side, so I want to talk a little bit about everything going on and get you up to speed on where things are at behind the scenes, as well as what we've seen on the ice so far from this Anaheim Ducks team. But first off, I wanted to mention how, you know, for a new season, I always get a sense of excitement and certainly a lot of gratitude too. So I really can't thank you guys enough for showing your support the past few years. This is now year three for me and year three for Duckstream as well. Kind of hard to believe that we're at this point, but so proud of everything that this team has done. Myself, Stefan Bell, Joey Liberatore. It's been a lot of hard work the last couple of years, and we're excited for another season ahead. And of course, we wouldn't be here without all of your support as well for Duckstream. So thank you for listening, and thank you for taking part in all of our Twitter polls and everything else that we have going on during the game broadcast and tuning in whenever you can. So it means so much to us to share this platform with all of you fans as well. And in talking about some of the things that we've had on Duckstream recently, I want to go through some of them in case you haven't checked out maybe some of our other shows. Behind the Bench, I sat down with head coach Greg Cronin prior to the start of the season. We had a very long conversation. It was an honest conversation. I feel like I always walk away from talking to Crow and knowing that I learned something. And that was very interesting just to hear his perspective as a first-year head coach in the NHL, everything he learned, you know, what his summer was like and just how things really didn't slow down for him going into this second season. So that's a great interview if you haven't checked that one out yet. Also, we had GM Pat Verbeek join us in the studio for a new episode of The Beaker. Great to chat with Pat. You know, he's very transparent with us. And I think that you don't really get to see that a lot with GMs in the NHL or in sports in general. So we're very fortunate to have him and have him join us in the studio as well. Another thing that we were able to bring to you the last couple weeks on Light the Lamp, the training camp interviews. I got to sit down with all of our Anaheim Ducks players prior to the start of the season at the beginning of training camp, talk about their summers. There's a lot of those interviews, so make sure to catch up on all of those. Also, the Anaheim Ducks Golf Classic that our wonderful Anaheim Ducks Foundation helps put together. That was a really fun day on the course. I mean, they're hockey players. They love golf. Whenever they're not playing hockey, if they're not relaxing, whatever, they're playing golf. So that was a great day. Nice weather for that as well. I mean, we live in Southern California. Of course, there's great weather for a golf classic. A little bit late. I guess it's late summer here, but it's, you know, it's been a little brisk at points, but I guess it's still, I don't know. Is it fall? I guess it's almost November. So I guess we're kind of call it fall at this point as Halloween's right around the corner at this point. And talking about a little bit more about Duckstream, just the craziness to start this season. As I mentioned, year three for us. We have a new addition, and I'm so thrilled to have him join us this year. DJ JoJo, he has his own new show called Spinning It. It's a lifestyle show where he's going to be sitting down with some of our Ducks players, other people around the NHL, and giving a look to the lifestyle side of things. I mean, he's a DJ. He works in entertainment and marketing, and I think JoJo's perspective is really fresh, and it's a new fun thing for us to have on Duckstream, and he's awesome person. So very happy to have JoJo a part of our Duckstream family now. You can catch his show wherever you get your podcast, just like you're listening to right now on Light the Lamp, or you can also check it out on Victory Plus, which brings me to that. I know I've mentioned Victory Plus in the past on Light the Lamp, but download Victory Plus. It is how you can watch the Anaheim Ducks for free. For free. You don't have to pay anything on Victory Plus. You get to watch our Duckstream podcast on there. We have them now in video form on there. You get to watch the Anaheim Ducks for free, and there's a bunch of other ancillary content you can catch up on. So we're thrilled to partner with Victory Plus this year. Also, of course, our other TV partner, over the air, Fox Plus, which is KCOP Channel 13. It's great to have the local reach here in Southern California as well. So you can watch our Ducks play on there, or you can watch them on Victory Plus. And if you are watching on Fox Plus over the air, tune in a half hour before the game, because I have a new TV segment this year as a part of the pregame, which is going to be highlighting all of our fun exclusive content. Some of it you get to see on Victory Plus as well, whether it's from our awesome entertainment team or from our Duckstream team. So a part of the Anaheim Ducks pregame on Fox Plus. So aside from all of the content that you can find on Duckstream and Victory, you can tune in for our games, of course, on Duckstream again this year to hear Steve Carroll and Emerson Needham on the call. I'm also a part of their great team with the pregame and the postgame, and then also giving reports throughout the game. They are so much fun to work with. Every game I'm working with Steve and Emerson, we're laughing. We have such a great time. And the chemistry that the two of them have built in the booth going into year two now, it's been really special to watch the two of them grow together. And make sure just to listen to them at some point this season if you haven't already. Also, write this number down. If you want to join our post-game show, I'm going to give you the number here because I like to really throw it out as much as I can. 714-940-2950. So make sure if you're going to be listening, you want to join the post-game show, text that number and your text will get read on the postgame show. We love to have that interaction with fans. That's something we implemented last year in the postgame show. And I personally really enjoyed hearing from our fans throughout the season. So wanted to make sure we included that once again this year. And last but not least, here at Honda Center, there were a lot of changes in this offseason, and we got to put them on display with the home opener. The in-arena experience is so elevated this year. It's absolutely incredible. If you haven't come to a game yet, make sure to at some point this season. We have lasers. We have an outstanding on-ice projection system that looks so real, and it's 3D looking, and it's incredible. First of all, that's all I'm going to say. There's videos also on social media. You can see parts of it, but when you see it in person, it's even more incredible. So that part, awesome to see. There's a new identity for Wild Wing, and he just revealed a part of that at his Halloween bash this past week when we played the San Jose Sharks. His eyes glow now. That's pretty cool. He also swung down from the roof, kind of an ode to the past there, but a fun entrance for him. So Wild Wing's got a whole new look along with, of course, the new jerseys, the new logo. It looks really nice on the ice. The orange carpet as a part of the home opener. Thank you for everyone who came to that. It was a lot of fun. I got to walk with some of our guys as they were walking the carpet and interview them. So we're still working through some of that footage because it was a busy day. So looking to get you some of that content here soon as well. All right. So now that we've kind of wrapped up everything that's happened over the last couple weeks, let's get to the hockey stuff. Let's get to the X's and O's, the good stuff. Because we've seen six games from the Anaheim Ducks as I'm recording this today. This is going out on Friday, October 25th. So right before the Ducks East Coast road trip, where they're taking on four metropolitan teams, the Rangers, Devils, Islanders, and Penguins on this trip, a little bit of a longer trip. I want to talk about what we've seen so far. I also want to break down some of the play specific to some of the Anaheim Ducks young guys so far. And in looking at the record, 3-2-1 in the first six games, those losses coming to the Vegas Golden Knights, the Los Angeles Kings, and then an overtime loss to the Colorado Avalanche. Ducks getting three wins in the first six, pretty good. And a point also on top of that overtime point. But let's talk about just some of the things I've noticed out of the group. And if you listen in to our pregame and postgame, we're always talking about these subjects. So kind of regurgitating some similar thoughts here. But I know that, you know, podcasts, it's a little different. So you might not hear the pregame, postgame, and I want to talk about it here. So one of the parts that I've noticed with this Ducks team is going into the season, we knew that speed was something that was going to be improved. It's a much faster team, much stronger team. However, I feel like they're struggling to find that consistency in using their speed. The effort, of course, is there. I'm not doubting the effort. And head coach Greg Cronin noted very, very clearly that the effort is there. It's just a matter of consistent 60 minutes. And that's something that we saw last season that the team kind of struggled with. We want to see that consistency in utilizing all of their tools early, especially their speed. So I think that the Ducks are still trying to figure that out a little bit because their games against the Kings and the Avalanche, they looked very slow there. They looked tired. And of course, you have that altitude change in Colorado. So maybe a little bit of fatigue from that. But the tiredness in those games, It was not good. And I'm glad that Anaheim was able to get a refreshed and just a better overall gameplay in the game against San Jose on Tuesday. So that end, I think they're still trying to shake off some rust. But I mean, you know, now you're getting into game seven on the season. So yeah, I think that you're kind of moving away from that at this point. Patience with the power play. That's my second point here. The power play was last in the NHL heading into the game on Tuesday night. No power play goals on 17 chances into that game. However, they got two on Tuesday. They broke that streak. Great to see. That is an area that I think is going to maybe continue to develop. Especially, I'm curious to see them on this road trip should they get the chance to have a power play. I was looking at the two units that we saw on Tuesday and quarterbacking each of those. The first unit, Jackson Lacombe. The second unit, we saw Olin Zellweger there. We previously had saw Cam Fowler, who of course has got a lot of power play time. He's a veteran on that end. But Olin Zellweger, I think, was rewarded in that game because he had such a good game against the Sharks on Tuesday. So the power play is now run by new assistant coach Rich Klune, and head coach Greg Cronin has spoke so highly of Rich Klune. And even though he's a young coach, how well he's able to connect with some of these NHL players on the roster, you know, having that experience because he is younger. Also just how smart he is and how well he knows the game. So I don't think that there's any need to be concerned about the power play. Obviously, It didn't look good in those early games. We did see some good flashes of it, though, in that game against Colorado. That's a particular area where towards the end of it, the power play was moving the puck well. They were getting shots off and the Avs players were having to block a lot. So finally, we saw it just looked like a more energized power play. And that's exactly what we saw against San Jose when they got their chances. That power play goal by Troy Terry. It was all Troy Terry on that goal. But I think that was a turning point. And I'm hoping that's a turning point even on the power play going forward, because if they are able to figure it out, if they're able to start moving the puck better, getting shots off quicker, getting their set plays, winning their faceoffs on the power play, I think that we have really two solid power play units. And I know that the quarterbacks are going to probably change a little bit on those because you want to give some of these younger defensemen chances. We've seen Pavel Mintikov on it. We've seen Tristan Luneau on it. So there's some shifting there, but I really do like that Jackson Lacombe, because he played in the preseason on that unit. I like that he's on it because going back to his college days at Minnesota, he was very, very good on the power play. So he has that experience, obviously not at the NHL level, but I'm looking to see him get going a little bit more and really leading that group. So like I said, patience with the power play, but we want to see more. Obviously, great sign there on Tuesday. And kind of going along with that, my next one, shoot the puck more. My goodness, there have been some tough games in the sense of that LA game, 14 shots on goal is not enough. That will not win you a hockey game. But man, did they respond against San Jose. 40 shots on goal. The last time we saw the Ducks put up 40 or more shots on goal was November of 2023, also when they played the Sharks and got a 4-1 win in that case. So they got to be shooting the puck from all parts of the ice. I think that that is obviously one of the biggest parts of the game. You know, you're not going to score if you're not shooting the puck. So want to continue to see that, especially on this road trip, because it's going to be some tough teams. You're taking on the Rangers, first of all, who have been outstanding in this early bit of the season. You're taking on the Devils, also a solid team early in the season. The Islanders slipping a bit more, but the Penguins, they're all, I mean, you look at their roster. These are going to be four hard games for the Ducks, and I think we're going to learn a lot about them on this trip. Next point on this list, the faceoff percentage is bad right now. 41.9%. That is what the Ducks are at. Mason McTavish and Ryan Strome are leading the team in the faceoff circle. Mac T is about 48%. Strome is about 47% in their wins right now. This is an area that when I spoke with GM Pat Verbeek, he said that Leo Carlson needs to improve on his faceoffs. He is right now about 26%. The last game against San Jose, he was 0-7. And he actually didn't take any more faceoffs in the third period because of this. So we need to see improvement in the faceoff circle, especially when you want to get those set plays off, off the faceoff. So I think this is important for the team moving forward. Also, I think back to that LA game, there was a faceoff where the Ducks were down in the O zone. They lose the faceoff. The Kings get it. They go down and they score. So it's just moments like that where you got to be winning your faceoffs. And I think that's an area which we've seen them practice a bit. I saw them during the practice on Monday. They were at Honda Center practicing. They were working on some faceoffs. So hoping to see that moving forward. Couple other notes as I move along here. Lukáš Dostál. I would be remiss to not talk about him early in talking about this season because he has looked so good. And John Gibson obviously has been out due to the emergency appendectomy that he had 3 to 6 weeks. He's expected to be out. He actually was on the ice this week practicing. So that's a good sign for his return here. The Ducks picked up goaltender James Reimer off waivers in place of, you know, to make that backup for Dostal. Reimer did play against the Golden Knights. That's the only game he's played for the Ducks this season. But for Lukáš Dostal, he has looked so good. A 937 save percentage, a 3-1-1 record, and a 2.19 goals against average right now. And I was curious how his save percentage kind of added up to some of the other goaltenders around the NHL right now. He is fifth for goalies starting at least 5 games because Dostal has started and played 5 games. So I wanted to kind of compare similar goaltenders on that end. And he's just been so impressive. And I keep going back to it. But when I talked to him this week, I asked him, how have you been able to take over this starting role and just jump into it and look so comfortable? And he said, really, it was last season. Getting that experience, the travel, the schedule, the reps that he got behind John Gibson, the advice that he got from him, all of that, including his time spent as the number one goaltender for Czechia at the World Championship over the summer, where he was the goaltender MVP of the tournament. I mean, that all got him ready for this season. And he came in, he had the right mindset. It's just been some of the little details in his game that he's been working on, and it's paying off. I mean, he has looked so good for the Ducks. He's kept them in a lot of these games, particularly that game in Colorado. He stood on his head in that one, and for the Ducks to fight back, force the overtime, unfortunately not get the win there, but to see Dostal do what he did in that game, in addition to a couple more in this early part of the season, it's been a great sign and it makes you comfortable going into the year. You know, John Gibson's eventually going to come back. You're going to have that solid tandem. So I'm really happy for him and glad that the Ducks have had that reliability in the net. One other part I want to mention, especially on the back end, Addition, Brian Dumoulin. He has been a key asset on the back end, and his veteran experience has been on display. He gets pucks out of the zone so well, so quickly. His vision on the ice, he's just a smart player, and you see it because he's had so many reps. He's played with a lot of great, talented players, especially going back to his time in Pittsburgh where he was a Stanley Cup champion. So you look at his numbers now, he has 2 assists on the season. He's a +2 right now. And he's mentoring Pavel Minchikov as a part of it, which has resulted in the two of them being very solid. And I really like what we're seeing out of them. They communicate well on the ice. And, you know, there's moments where Minty will have some time pushing it up the ice and Dumo kind of hangs back and just they seem to know their role well and they seem to work well and have that chemistry already. So I like the two of them together. And I want to keep talking about our defensive core a little bit more, but particularly the younger guys. I know I was just talking about Minty, but I mentioned Lacombe earlier. He started his season delayed due to an illness that took him down and out for a little bit of time. So he didn't make his debut until it was Sunday against the Kings. And he did have that one big mistake in that game, you know, leading to a goal for the Kings. Unfortunately, when I asked him about that, he owned up to it, said, you know, mistakes happen. I wasn't happy about it. But Tuesday is a new opportunity, new game. I'm moving on from it. And that's the mindset you got to have. You can't dwell on the little things. I know that it's frustrating in the moment, and certainly you don't want to see it. And when you look at the way his season ended last year, a rough ending for him. So I think that, you know, for him to come into his first game, have that happen, you hate to see it. But the coaching staff seemed to handle it very well. Head coach Greg Cronin complimenting him outside of that, just saying he had 2 bad shifts. Otherwise, he thought he was great on the ice. So good stuff from him. I like the pairing with Radko Gudas, a great person for him to learn from. And I know that Gudas has spoken very highly of Lacombe, just saying how much more confident he is coming into this season. And I think that's been on display so far in the 2 games that we've got from him. Another player that looks very confident, very comfortable, and I mentioned earlier, probably his best game of the season against the Sharks, Olin Zellweger. He led the D-Core in ice time against the Sharks with 27 shifts, nearly 22 minutes of ice time. He was getting up on plays, looked a lot more calm overall, like he kind of could read the ice better, quick decision-making. We saw him getting out of the zone quickly, carrying the puck up the ice, and he had that good puck management. So I liked what we saw from Olin Zellweger in that game. I already talked about Pavel Minchikov a little bit, but one of the biggest games for him was opening night at Honda Center, the home opener. He had a 2-goal game against Utah, nearly 22 minutes of ice time as well. He did miss that game against the Kings on Sunday due to food poisoning. So you can't go back to that restaurant or whatever he ate on Saturday night. Glad he's doing all right. Was able to get back for the game on Tuesday and back alongside Brian Dumoulin. And the last blue liner that I want to mention, because I asked GM Pat Verbeek about him before the season, it's Tristan Luneau. And I think that this has been a bit of an adjustment period for him. There were big expectations on him coming into the year. I mean, he is a very talented player. He's very skilled. And as they like to say, they got to tame the Bronco a little bit with him because he wants to do everything and he wants to be the best, but they kind of have to slow him down a little bit. And I feel like in particular, some of the things that I've noticed from him is he'll go to make a play, like a simple play along the boards, but he won't take that extra second to look and it'll result in a turnover. Moments like that. There was a particular turnover he had in one of the games earlier this year and just resulted in a goal. He was a healthy scratch against the Sharks. I think it's just taking him a little bit more time to get settled in. And I know that we're going to see the stellar player he is. We just got to be a little bit more patient with him right now. So I think that rounds out the D-Core. Let's move up to the front end of the ice. Troy Terry is leading the team in points right now. 5 points, 4 goals as the top goal scorer so far. He's also on a 5-game point streak. I'm so happy to see Troy Terry having this early success. I know it's helping his confidence because when I talked to him right before training camp, I asked him, you know, what's your goal for the year? What are you looking forward to? And he said he just wanted to get back to having fun playing the game, loving the game. And I think that's the Troy Terry that we're seeing so far. He also got the Ducks' first power play goal of the season in the second period against San Jose. So let's take a minute to listen to that call by Steve Carroll.
A drive by Lacombe. And oh, and I think one of the Shark players just got nailed by a piece of that. Might have been Wallman in front of the net. Another drive, and that's off to the left of their goaltender. And it actually bounces all the way down the ice next to Dostal.
And it was a brilliant pass by Mason McTavish. What a one-time opportunity by Cutter Gauthier. And there goes Troy Terry.
Troy Terry gets the goal. It puts Anaheim up. It's a power play goal. And it's 27 seconds into the minor penalty assessed to Will Smith. The good guys have a 1-0 lead in their home building, and listen to this crowd erupt.
Troy Terry there breaking the ice finally on the power play. His line, though, with Ryan Strome and Frank Vetrano have been so solid in talking about that trio in particular. They have 10 of the Ducks points amongst the three of them. They've just been the most consistent line. Their veteran experience, I think, is showing through early in the season. And when the three of them are on the ice, because they do get quite a bit of ice time, they were bumped up to that second line on Tuesday. You're not worried. You know that they're making plays. Ryan Strome has scored a couple also this year. So I'm happy to see what we have seen from the three of them. And I like the three of them together. Troy Terry joining, you know, the duo that Stromer and Vetrano have or are rather. I like it. And I hope that they continue, the three of them, to be, on the same line, because it kind of reminds me of early last season when McTavish was with Strome and Vetrano. But now we're seeing that success with Terry. So another big Ducks player, of course, Leo Carlson. He is second on the team in points right now, and he had that exciting game-winning goal in overtime in the home opener to extend the home opener win streak to now 9 years. So I also want to take a second to listen to that exciting moment.
Here's Carlson. Nice move to avoid contact with Keller. Cruising into the left of their goal. Still with the puck. Feeds it off. Troy Terry shoots. Oh, and the goaltender got his blocker on a piece of that one. Puck in front of the Ducks players' bench. Here's a chance for Carlson. Scores! Leo Carlson wins the game for Anaheim. 55 seconds into overtime. 5-4 final. And can you believe all of this?
Steve Carroll there bringing the energy for Leo Carlson's overtime winner. He now has 4 points in the 6 games that he's played in, including 2 game-winning goals now at this point. And one of the parts for Leo early in the year, I talked about the faceoffs a little bit ago, but I want to talk about his line in particular, because for the first time we saw it switched up in that game against San Jose. Robbie Fabbri, the newcomer, was elevated to that top line, and head coach Greg Cronin noting there that he wanted to add some speed up front, hence why he moved Fabbri up. I thought the three of them worked very well together between Cutter Gauthier, Leo Carlson, and Robbie Fabbri. Fabbri has been a great addition for the Ducks as well. He's already had a goal in that Utah game in the home opener. That was an exciting one. I think he fits in well with this team, and I think that there's a lot more to come from him and hopefully a lot more goals as well. But in talking about what Fabbri was able to add to that line, I know in the post game, Cutter Gauthier noted that he opened up the ice to help make plays easier. So I think that maybe keeping the three of them together is a good sign moving into this road trip, because they did play well together in that last game. So speaking of Cutter Gauthier, you know, it's been interesting to watch his development early in the season. And one of the things to mention with him is that he had a lot riding on him, you know, coming into the year, a lot of expectations for himself. And it's been a little bit of a learning curve for him, I think, early, but He has improved each game. He had his first multi-point game against San Jose as he had two assists in that one. And I go back to his home opener game. It was tough. His family was there. Second period comes around. He gets dropped down to the fourth line. Third period comes around. He plays a shift. Utah gets on the board. Cutter then doesn't play the rest of the third period. He gets sat. And when Cronin talked about it in the post-game show, just said sometimes you need to sit him down and have him learn, have him watch and learn. So that moment to me was big for Cutter because he's someone that I think is like a sponge. He soaks up everything. He learns a lot quickly. And that was very evident in his bounce back Colorado game, LA game, and then of course the game against San Jose. So good stuff from him. He's growing each game. He's going to find his footing. I mean, he's playing on the top line alongside Leo Carlson. There's a lot of expectations, like I said, between the two of them. So I think that what we're starting to see from Cutter is a good sign. And obviously going from college hockey to the NHL is a huge jump, but things are trending in the right direction for him. And I'm happy for him to get that first multi-point NHL game. We're still waiting on that first goal, though, so maybe we'll get it on this road trip. I certainly hope so. Talking about goals, though, Trevor Zegras, he's been a little quiet in this early part of the season offensively. He only has 2 points. Got his first goal. It was an empty netter in San Jose in the season opener for the Ducks. But I know we're hoping to see more from him. He's not someone I'm worried about. I think he will come around, and you know, he's kind of switched up his line as well. He played alongside Isaac Lindstrom and Alex Killorn in that game on Tuesday, playing on that third line. So, like I said, a lot more to come from Trevor Zegras. And in talking about Isaac Lindstrom, I want to mention that he was the first goal scorer for the Anaheim Ducks on this season. Let's take a listen to Steve's call of it.
But San Jose recognizes that before they enter the Anaheim zone. Cam Fowler plays it up for Brett Leeson. Here he comes with McGinn, with Lundestrom in front of the net. A shot, score! Anaheim finally gets one here at the 11-minute mark of the third period. What a pass. What a goal. And the Anaheim Ducks have a 1-0 lead on a goal by Isaac Lundestrom.
Great to see Lundy get the first one for the Ducks this season. And since then, he has gotten a little beaten down in some of these games. He left the home opener late in it, did not play against Colorado, was day-to-day upper body injury, did not play against the LA Kings, but did come back. And he did play against San Jose, got a point in that one, and got hit in the face with the puck. So, but he came back in the next period, so he's all good now. But hopefully he stays healthy moving forward. And same with the rest of the team. We hope that this group continues to stay healthy, because that was definitely an area that the Ducks unfortunately struggled with last year, was staying healthy, as Frank Vatrano was the lone Ducks player to play every game last season. So that'll wrap things up for our talk about the Anaheim Ducks. Thank you, like I mentioned, for tuning in for this episode of Light the Lamp. So much to come from this Ducks team moving forward as they get out on the road this weekend. And I'm excited to see how this goes. Halloween's coming up. The month is ending. And then the team is here for quite a bit as they have a long homestand to start the month of November. So thank you for listening to this episode of Light the Lamp. I am Alexis Downey. As always, come back again next time for more hockey talk right here on DuckStream.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.